What's up? It's your boys Jordan and Abraham. As always, he's a professional runner, so he's your fast friend. I'm an MD PhD student, so I'm your smart friend. We're accompanied by our producer friend, Alex, as always now. Most importantly, though, we are your friends who read One Piece. You didn't get to read One Piece this week, no chapter out. You can see Jordan's getting his withdrawals, as always. He's an addict.
You see these scratches
But
on my neck, man? I'm in
it's it's
trouble, bro. I'm in
it's okay.
trouble.
It's only 1 week. It's only 1 week. You'll make it. I believe in you.
Bro, I'm
I believe
tweaking,
in
bro.
you,
I'm
bro. Yeah.
tweaking.
But we've had a couple break weeks to kind of deal with this. You guys know the drill. We're gonna talk about some stuff that we couldn't get into last week. And yeah, just maybe flesh out some of the chapter contents that we didn't
I
have a
just don't.
chance to.
How is Oda gonna do this to us, man? After he took we had a whole month with no One Piece. Do you
Yeah.
know what that's like for me?
Yeah.
And then to because of the so-called Golden Week, Shonen Jump doesn't have an issue or
No.
something like that. And so we have to, after already doing this, have another week with
Yep.
no One Piece, man. It's
You know what's
crazy.
crazy is that he used, and I'm not gonna say he used Toriyama's death. Like he took Toriyama's death, and everyone's like, man, can't blame Oda for taking like a mental health, break. Because he cited he's like, my friend died, I need the time off, so
Right,
we couldn't even be mad about it. It was just like, just we just had to step
right.
back. And now he's just like he played us. I really think
He
we got
played
played
us,
by Oda.
man. He's just trying to take this whole Japanese holiday with no Shonen Jump off, man. I need One Piece. I need One Piece.
So what I want to talk about today, there's a couple of things I want to talk about today. The first thing I want to ask you is, do you think Vegapunk is really dead or not?
So I think I was about to try and answer really complicated. Yes, I believe Vegapunk is dead.
Okay.
I also think there are a lot of really interesting questions about what it means to die when you have a split consciousness, as far as things like Edison, Lilith, do still seem to be running around. You obviously have this giant brain that we talked about a little bit last week in Punk Records that is just like power seems to be powering the whole thing and is maybe like an eighth Vegapunk that has more than just the consciousnesses of these, seven people put into it, has like an infinite seeming amount of knowledge that the Elder Stars understand is pretty important to protect, or else they're going to lose out on, they talk about the Mother Flame, but some other piece of information. For it's two chapters in a row, they've said, we can't destroy this.
Yeah.
So I think I think it seems clear and would be really narratively poor if he wasn't dead. He already said that the broadcast was set to start when his heart is done beating. And we've just had a couple too many, like he's stabbed through the chest here, he's shot through the chest here.
Yeah.
But his will and sort of his consciousness is going to live on somehow.
So, I mean, the thing is, people have survived their heart not beating, like in the real world. You know what I mean? Obviously not for very long, but if you go into cardiac arrest, like that is literally your heart stops beating, right?
Okay, doctor. Okay.
Okay,
Okay, Smarty Vance. Okay,
so
I'm at a
I'm
medical
saying
conference right now.
is so what I'm saying is his heart not beating doesn't actually necessarily mean that he's dead, which I and I
Fair point.
Take given Oda's history of not being willing to kill important characters in his story, I'm not going to believe that he's dead until there's like a funeral, basically. Until they're like when we saw Whitebeard's grave and Ace's grave, we saw them put in the ground, until I get something like that for Vegapunk, I think I'm going to be skeptical about it just because we've had too many fake outs to this point.
Well, I guess my question for you then is, what purpose would you see Vegapunk serving in the story narratively going forward, if he continues to be alive, particularly in his Stella form? I don't see
Yeah.
him continuing on and serving with the crew. I don't see, like, it's not like Egghead. I, you know, for someone like Pell, at the very least, it's like he can, you know, hang around and take care of Vivi, and that's actually like an important role that seems to fulfill something about his character. Whereas with Vegapunk, there is like, I don't, after he makes this broadcast, I don't understand what reason there is for him to be alive.
You mean because like the Stellas are, or not the Stella, the satellites are like can replace him?
Well, just like narratively, like what else will, like, what other reason would there be to leave him alive? Like, what does he seem like he has left to do? A lot of this speech feels like it's a, I know I might get killed soon, and I'm sort of just like leaving, like, this is my will and testament. Here you go. Here's the things that I've been holding, that have been on my mind, and I'm cleansing myself of it and letting go of it, and like, here you go, world. Bye. I'm dead now.
So I think the answer to that question is going to depend on what we learn about what is about to happen to the world, right? Like this chapter ends with him saying the world is about to sink or go underwater. I can't remember exactly the wording used. You know, world's about to be underwater. We know that there's like a bunch of weapons that maybe the world government has that all like have been like developed by Vegapunk. We know that he has these kind of grave sins. Now, would Oda keep him in the story in order to give him an opportunity to atone for whatever his sins might be? Maybe. Would he leave him in the story if he needed someone to like counteract some of the advanced weaponry that he's developed for the world government? Maybe. I don't know, right? Or maybe like the solution to against like the imminent flooding that's about to happen is going to require some kind of scientific solution that you need Vegapunk for, right? So I can see a lot of ways in which Oda keeps Vegapunk relevant to the story. I think the biggest issue, or sorry, not biggest issue, because I actually would have no issue with Vegapunk dying personally. I just don't think it's going to happen because of Oda's history.
Right.
The I guess
Well, so I can answer some of that. Like,
to
to
me the I just want to say one thing real quick. To me, the
okay.
biggest argument against Vegapunk sticking around is that it feels like all of the satellites can replace him, right? So if he dies and we need some kind of scientific leader in order to do a lot of these things, why couldn't like Shaka do that, for example? And that's that I think is maybe the a fair argument as for why Oda may be more willing to kill off Vegapunk, but I do think he will still have an important role in the story going forward.
But I think that that's one of the things, as far as, and actually I have a total digression that I think is actually really interesting about this, that Samir brought up in a conversation with me when I was in that same conversation, where I basically predicted that we were going to learn about why the world is a series of islands, that that Samir brought up to me. But so one of the things about the Straw Hat's crew is, everyone kind of has to become the best at something. And when we talk about Franky, when you say, oh, we're going to have to be able to like counteract some of these ancient weapons, obviously he has the Pluton blueprints in his mind, and he has the ability to potentially build something that might live up to and counteract that. But I think that, you know, he got sent to Baltimore by Bartholomew Kumo, right? Like, he got sent to Vegapunk's birthplace, and like was in his lab, and he kind of like blew some of it up. But I think that there's a clear sort of passing on of the will of Vegapunk, science-wise, onto Franky, in the same way that, you know, Roger down to Luffy, Rayleigh down to Zoro. And I'll actually, one of the things that's an interesting digression that I think is just like worth saying. We were talking about Wano, actually, and Samir was talking about why he actually thinks that Chopper's. Well, he was talking about why Chopper's, the whole ice Oni thing in Wano, is actually kind of significant, and how it, you know, it, how it counts a pretty cool moment that Chopper has
No, it
had since
wasn't. It
the
was a waste of time. It
cool
was a
moment that
waste,
Chopper has
Jordan. It
had.
was a
The
waste of
definitely
time.
definitely better than anything Usopp
It was
comes
a
to see
waste,
in a
Jordan. It
long
was
time. But
a waste of time, Jordan. Jordan, it was a waste of like five chapters.
what I thought was really interesting about the point Samir brought up is, we have to see Luffy's crew not just become the strongest pirate-wise on the sea, but really have someone who's becoming the best at their respective thing, better than that at that respective thing than other people and other crews. So again, right, like Luffy has to become the strongest pirate who's able to actually defeat the captains of all the other crews. Zoro, same kind of thing. It's just about strength. Nami has to be the best navigator. She has to be able to actually get a ship all the way to Laugh Tale, which is probably going to be some kind of like, bonkers underwater cavern. How in the world can you even get to that? I don't know. But something like Chopper versus Queen, something like Chopper versus Queen, what you see is we've seen a lot, like there's a lot of different scientists through the course of the series, right? And you see people like Queen, the whole Mads group, right? Like even Caesar is a part of Joker, of Doflamingo's crew. And Chopper actually being able to defeat Queen in a battle of science is really significant for us being able to say Luffy's crew is not just stronger than Kaido's crew, but also our scientist managed to beat his scientists in like in a worthwhile head-to-head battle.
That's okay. I don't want to get into the because we're done with Wano. I don't want to spend a bunch of time this
It's the
chapter
same kind of thing
going
with
into
Franky
it.
anyway, taking on
Yeah,
Vegapunk's, but yeah.
no. That's a big reach for that whole Queen Chopper Ice Oni stuff. I don't want to waste time
That
going
was an
into that
interesting. I
because
thought it was an
we're not
interesting
no
point. I,
because
but,
that's a reach and
we're on about like people in the Straw Hat's crew inheriting
sure,
will of other people and having to like be the
but
masters of
let me
certain domains.
sure let me but the thing is. Those characters you're pointing out have are already carrying on someone's will. Chopper is carrying on Dr. Hiluk's will. We are like that was the whole point of his backstory, right? And
Sure.
there
Carry
is
on
no
will, yeah.
he is
Carry
he
on
is
will,
he
is carry maybe carrying on will is not the best, but like
well, let me
pers pursuing a certain domain of mastery and having to become the best because you're the pirate king's that thing, right? Whether that's
Sure,
doctor,
but
scientist, etc.
there is so what I'm going to say is there is not going to be any Straw Hat that fulfills that kind of scientist niche because that is not in line with any of their dreams in my like we know like Chopper's stated dream for example is to become a doctor that can cure anything essentially
Right,
right
right,
that's his whole speech it's his goal
right,
right we know that from Water 7 and like Frankie's backstory and all of his stuff with like Tom-san, that his goal is to his goal was just to create a ship that could sail around the world, right? It wasn't even to necessarily be on that ship, but it was just to basically create the greatest ship in the world, right?
sure.
So there's no Straw Hat that fits into that scientist category. Because you could even say Robin, who is an archaeologist, also like depending on the arc, maybe is like has a bit more of the science focus on her. So I don't, I
She's
think you,
smart. She's
you,
super smart. Science
no, I
focus
mean,
is
but
just a bit
you
much,
were
but go
arguing
on.
that
Yeah.
about the, you were arguing that about the Oharan scholars not that many weeks ago, but regardless, what you were, that was literally what you were saying a couple of weeks.
What I was saying is that like understanding like the history of the world, particularly with things like geology, is going to involve some understanding of like how science has changed over time. That's different than like knowing how to like make science, but definitely like studying some amount of history, you're going to learn about science of over time, right? It's like when we're in world history, I mean, I don't know how they do in Canada, but when we're in world history, it's like you learn about like aqueducts or something, and I don't know, is that like the Romans or some jank? Like, yeah, I'm saying I don't know how to do in Canada, and I'm like, I don't even really know,
So,
but like you learn about science
sure.
in history.
But my point is that this, like, the Straw Hats, so Vegapunk is, I don't think, is ever going to cede that role of, like, the great scientist for good or whatever. Like there's no Straw Hat in my opinion that is ever going to kind of inherit that mantle for him. I know you were putting forward Frankie because that like Frankie is just he is the a carpenter essentially. He's not a scientist. He went to Baltigo, sure, but
I
he
mean,
like at the I under and I understand that he creates weapons
he
and
is a
stuff like that.
robot, bro. Like, he is a literal cyborg, man. How are you gonna be
Sure,
like he's
but
not a scientist?
his title is literally that he's like the ship's carpenter, you know? And that and Chopper is the ship's doctor. I think you're trying to fit like a square peg into a round hole when you're saying stuff like we don't necessarily like need Vegapunk in the story because this is a role that Frankie can fill, which I think was basically like the gist
That is the
of
gist of
your
what I
uncle.
was saying. Like that is the gist of what I was saying. Is that the thing that Vegapunk might do to save the world, if he is left in it, something that Frankie might do. And you're saying that Frankie doesn't have any kind of inherited will from Vegapunk, but we definitely have some hint of Frankie being sent to where Vegapunk was by Barth was born by Bartholomew Kuma. So there's a real sense of him being in some, like at least in some ways, an inheritor of like this role of scientist, or at the very least, inheritor of something had to have to do with Vegapunk.
I don't think that's what that was. I think that was Kuma, for whatever reason, knowing where the different Straw Hats needed to go in order to get stronger and train, like and develop into, like he didn't send
But he's a
Usopp to.
carpenter. Why would he go to Vegapunk's place then?
No, because he also develops weapons. He like you know he's been building weapons since he was a kid. And Vegapunk, who else has built bigger and better weapons for the world than Vegapunk, right? Like,
It's just a very narrow way to look at Frankie's role. It's like, oh, it's weapons, and it can only be weapons, and Vegapunk did weapons, and like only that part of it is what it's interested is what's
because
interesting here.
I don't think like the fact that you're even jumping from arc to arc, you're going from like from Wano where you're like Chopper was filling this role against Queen, and now you're saying Frankie is gonna fit this role. Like, I think that in and of itself should tell you that there is no Straw Hat that fulfills this role that you're trying to like put onto them well enough, right? Because you're jumping from Straw Hat to Straw Hat in order to do that.
You know what? I'm gonna give you that that's fair. I'm gonna see, I knew when I said that Abraham was gonna just light up. Like I know you can't see this I know you can't see this just listening to this podcast. Abraham's face just lit up when I said that. He's like,
No,
oh my God, that's so nice, Jordan. That's so nice.
you were the most
But
stubborn people I know. The fact that you were even willing to just be like, okay.
No, I'm not stubborn. You just made a good point. And I thought like it's like if you made more good points, then you would hear me changing my mind more often if you were making more good points. Like what I'll say is I do think that's a fair point of being like it's difficult to just suggest that anyone is just inheriting this will in that way. You're right. Because as I was thinking, I was like, well, Vegapunk was also a part of Mads, the same thing that Queen and Caesar were a part of. And so just putting that on the chopper is probably like an unfair, just like it must be that. I do think there's still something to be said for the crew has to become the strongest in all these different ways. And so maybe it's not one person, one person. But so it'll be interesting to see. I think it'll at the very least be possible for Frankie to potentially do some of the things that Vegapunk might have done. And either way, I think what is going on with all the satellite Vegapunks is going to be interesting, and I'm not really sure how that's going to be related to the rest of the story, but that's also like a fascinating, like, huh, what role will they play?
I want to talk about the two grave sins that Vegapunk mentioned in this
Yeah, man, I know
chapter
you
as
got
well.
some predictions, man.
Yeah,
Tell
yeah, yeah,
me
yeah.
what you're thinking about. What you thinking about?
So I think one of them, so I one of the things I want to start with what I don't think it'll be first. I don't think it'll be related to stuff like creating the Seraphim or like pacifistas, like creating these kinds of weapons for the world government. Because I feel like that is probably the first thing that comes to people's minds when you think of sins that Vegapunk might have committed, because he just gave so many powerful weapons to the world government, right? But
I tend to agree with you on that. Yeah.
yeah, I think you know, especially thinking back to the Water Seven backstory that we get with Tom-san, where he's just like the act of creating a weapon in and of itself is not a
Hold on,
sin.
did you say
It's
Tom-san? Man,
Tom-san?
come on. He said Tom-san. I'm like, man, this man's
Is that
speaking English. He's like, oh, with Tom-san. Man, I'm like, man, you're
yeah,
speaking English.
that's his
You
name.
can
That's
say
his name.
Tom, bro. Tom, Mr. Tom.
No,
Bro, we speaking English right
let me
now,
tell you
bro. What are
something.
you talking about? Man,
I respect Tom San too much. That man has earned my respect, and I will say his name appropriately.
Alex, do you hear that? He's not even saying Tom the way he would say Tom in English, man. He's saying Tom son.
Tom San.
Am I
You know,
hearing that right,
for
Alex?
all the
Am I
flack that
crazy
I got
here?
last week from Yeah.
Saki. I don't know how to
Yeah.
thank you. It's hilarious, man. I guess it's like if you like went to like Chili's and you're like, oh, can I get the queso por favor? And I'm like, man, we at Chili's. We at Chili's. His
Bro,
name is
don't get,
Tom. It's an
bro.
English name. It's an English
You are the
word.
last. You're the last person I want to hear get on people for this. You get angry at people when they say Raftel instead of Laftail. You get angry at people for not saying things how
I
they're supposed to be said all the time.
commented on so many Morge videos when he kept saying Raftel.
I'm like,
Every time I would comment and say it's Laftel, by the way.
like don't get mad at me for saying his name correctly. That's how his name is supposed to be said.
Bro, th then I hope you start saying Raftel every time. You're gonna say
No,
Raftel every
no,
single time
no, no.
because that's the path you're going down right now. This man has an English name, and it's the exact same as saying Laftel. Because once we find out it was Laftel, we should say it the way it's meant to be said. It's actually an English word.
Regardless, going back to these Sims, I don't think we get in that backstory that Tom says they're not supposed.
Oh,
Like,
you just
I
you just
know,
get
you know.
thank you, thank you.
He got in my
Yes.
head. He got into my head, and
Thank
I was and like the name popped in, and then I was like, I froze for
you.
a second. Thank you. You
That
got in my head.
was a beautiful, beautiful thing. I love that. We
Got
did good there, Alex.
in my head there. Oh my God.
It's fine. I don't want to derail the
It's
conversation
okay. It's
anymore.
okay. The act of creating a weapon in and of itself is not a sin, right? It's the implement how someone else chooses to implement and use a weapon is not on the creator of the weapon, right? So I think based off of that, I don't think that one of Vegapunk's grave sins is going to like that he regrets is going to be the creation of stuff like the Seraphim and whatnot.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And what I would add on to that is that's not the kind of regret or like grave sin that you would say that you're announcing to the entire world. Like, because really it's not just the creation of weapons that he regrets. It's specifically the nature, the personal nature of taking away Kuma's personality such that he's never gonna like recognize Bonnie again, to have to, and then having this guy who's like an incredibly gentle person turning into a weapon for the world government. That's like way too personal to put on a broadcast to the entire world. So I feel like I was just saying something. I was talking. I was like, yeah, man, that's way too personal to post on Facebook. Like, why are you posting that? But so I think that definitely, and it would also just be kind of uninteresting, right? I mean, maybe he would say it, and then you would be like, there's one other one, and that's the actual one. But it would just be relatively uninteresting for it to be something like that. So
I
what's the
do,
other thing you think it could not
yeah,
be?
I do personally think one of his sins is going to be what he did to take away Kuma's personality. I don't think he's gonna like broadcast and be like, "This was my si like these are my sins." I don't think he actually is going to necessarily vocalize what that is on this broadcast. But I think in his own head, one of his grave sins is what was done to Kuma and his role in taking away Kuma's agency and whatnot.
So you think weapons not one of the grave sins, taking away Kuma's agency one of... See, I thought we were talking about the same thing. I thought we were gonna agree for that. I mean, maybe, but that's not whatever the other sin is, that's not interesting. And to me, it's like he must have like you know, at the very least, he even kept in the fail safes. Like, if we're gonna eventually find out what these two sins that he feels like he committed are, which this would be a huge Chekhov's gun if we didn't find that out, right? So I feel like we do have to actually find that out at some point. I think that that would be relatively uninteresting. What I would
Fair.
say I think it's gonna be related to is so to the way he's talked about the world government here is as if they're not a necessarily a bad guy. And I've spoken a lot in the last few weeks about the possibility of there being some kind of more, hey, here's what's going on in the world, and the world government it has made a choice that requires them to dirty their hands, and Vegapunk doesn't understand him, quote unquote, which probably him, but you know, we'll see. Doesn't understand him well enough to actually, you know, judge right and wrong from it. I think that the things he's done are going to have to do with like perhaps like one deciding to like not make something free. You know, it could be something like the mother flame, just like again, like I've talked about saying, I think it could be like a source of energy. I think it could just be like maybe it's at the center of the earth, right? Like but it could be something like handing the mother flame and really just like giving it to these people and allowing them to have the ability to have it, whereas that's something that should be shared by everyone, right? Which again, that would kind of go into where I might see Vegapunk continuing the Will of O'Hara, being that it's not just he's studying the Void Century. It's not just, you know, he doesn't necessarily know things about history in the Void Century, but he might know things. What he definitely wants to, the big thing that O'Hara wanted to do and that Vegapunk wanted to do is spread knowledge, spread like science to everyone in a way that we deserve as humanity. And one of his grave sins is going to be the fact that he's allowed a small cadre of people to make that decision for everyone, rather than it being like something that people are able to think about.
No, I love that you said that, because my prediction for his second grave sin was going to be related to the Mother Flame. Like, because I personally think the flooding that is about to happen to the world is going to be related to the ancient, not maybe it's not necessarily an ancient one, but the weapon that we saw the world government use to destroy Lelouchia. Because we see when they used it, sea levels rose, right, by like a whole meter. So if there if this imminent flooding that is going to happen is because he gave them access to something like the Mother Flame, then I could see that being one of his grave sins. Though I do get how that sounds a little contradictory with what I just said earlier about creating a weapon is not in and of itself a sin, but
You would never contradict yourself. You would never do
no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't.
that.
But I do think that me personally, I think when we find out more about the Mother Flame, how the world government has access to it, what they're using it for, that will probably be related to one of these grave sins that he's committed.
So it's interesting talking about, I mean, now we're on the Mother Flame, right? And I think this idea of whether it's a weapon or this, because, you know, to me and my idea of what Vegapunk's sin might be, as far as it being about trying to like reveal things to everyone, the idea that the Mother Flame is a weapon and that's the thing he doesn't want to reveal, like to me, I wouldn't see the whole world as having some kind of real use for for like a giant thing that can fly around the sky and
I don't think it's a
destroy
weapon.
different things.
I
You
don't
don't
think
think it's a
it's a weapon.
weapon?
No. I
Oh, the
think it's an
mother
energy
flame.
source. Yeah, I
Oh,
think the Mother Flame is an
okay,
energy
cool.
source.
Oh. Oh, shoot, yeah. I thought, well, here I was thinking we were yeah, I was thinking we were in
I
different
think it's
sides of that.
an energy source that's going to be used to power weapons, but
Right,
like I
sure,
think it's an
yes. And that might be at the core of what Vegapunk's sin is that by allowing the Mother Flame to be with these people. Now, again, he doesn't understand exactly what Im's doing. Im might think he's doing something good. Im might think he's doing something that's like to save the world. But by giving it to them, he's resulted in a situation that's bad for or worse for a lot of other people. And I think really when you think about the themes of One Piece, I think democracy, freedom, not having like a hierarchical aristocratic society is one of the things that Oda really clearly seems to like value and write about. And I think that when we talk about what the when you
I
talk
don't.
about if there's some kind of source of infinite energy that's, you know, that can power a lot of things, having that be proprietized by people is like completely antithetical
Sure.
to what the world of to what the world that Oda has written like would be good for
Sure.
people.
I don't think Oda, I agree with like 99% of what you said. I don't, the one part I think I disagree with is about, like, I don't think Oda makes any comments necessarily on democracy, on like political systems, because you see, for example, countries like Alabasta, countries like Dressrosa under the Riku family, where he's not saying, like, you know, like that these monarchs and like that the idea of a monarchy is in and of itself bad, because you have these very, very like these pillars of strong leadership in the series. I think his commentary is throughout One Piece has always been more about freedom, and like, you know, how like taking away people's freedom and whatnot, but not necessarily on like political systems in that sense. But
Yeah, no, you're right, and I think that for me, I just like connect those two things in my head because I'm like, oh, if you have a monarchy, you're just going to kind of inevitably end up with like celestial dragons type stuff happening. But I think, like our friend Eric once said in the Discord, Cobra is a monarch, and by virtue of that, is evil. So, Cobra evil, definitely true.
Sounds
S class theory, amen. Thank you.
sounds like someone
And
else
now,
who once firmly believed that Cobra was evil
I did not firmly
said it
believe
with
that.
his whole
I
chest.
literally, I sent you the receipts of me
No.
saying, I sent you the receipts, Abraham.
No, Jordan, you didn't. You didn't.
Okay, you know what, Abraham? I actually have this because I was getting ready to get into this last week. If you were going to call me, May 11th, 2023. This is on my notes document. 11:13 a.m. I'm not even saying I think it's likely that this is about Cobra being evil, but the possibility has to be raised. 3:20 p.m. After getting a bunch of crap from you all between 11 a.m. and 3 p.m.
Jordan, you're
I'm
derailing the
not
whole
even
show,
saying.
bro.
No, I'm
You're
doing this. I said
derailing the
I'm
whole.
not even saying I believe it to be true. But no one is even like this kind of interesting. SMH, I'm gonna start acting like I believe it. You'll see when Cobra is actually evil. I have receipts that demonstrate my level of
Jordan,
belief in that was just to push back on everyone giving me crap all the time.
crazy thing is that no one in the chat believes you, because I also have receipts that I have screenshots that I'm not going to waste time pulling up, where you argue that this happening is more likely than Laftail being under Ennis Lobby, and
We can get
no,
into
no,
a nuanced
you've
discussion.
already dug yourself a hole. We don't
No,
need to get in.
we can get
We don't
into a
need to
nuanced
get into
discussion of that later, of
it.
exactly why my position on those two things is perfectly consistent. But
No, it's okay.
it's time to get in instead into S class and F class
Yeah.
segment where Abraham
Wait,
and I
wait, wait. You
find
forgot
theories in
about
the
your predictions. We got to give our predictions, man.
Oh man, my bad, man. I forgot about predictions,
I
man.
told you, you're derailing the whole show. You're all personal
I just
agenda.
messed it up. Bro, I just put it in my notes in the wrong place. I put my predictions way down at the bottom instead of right in there for some reason. Abraham, what's your prediction? We got 11:14 coming out next week. What do you think is gonna happen?
I think that w the giant robot is going to make an appearance, and
Ooh.
that we might learn a little bit about the Mother Flame, like specifically maybe as it pertains to the giant robot.
Ooh, that's very interesting. I think that the giant robot showing up is a real, that would be a real possibility. And I think definitely just beginning to understand exactly how things are powered. I think if we are able to learn, like it's just one of the big mysteries currently of Egghead Island. And I think being able to see, have that connection between the Mother Flame, which has now been referenced a couple chapters in a row, and this giant robot that we've seen moving. The only thing that's interesting is like wondering why it can move while Luffy is running around and what the connection with the Drums of Liberation as a source of power are.
Why don't you give me your predictions?
I would say my prediction, I was about to just change it because I thought of something during the You know what? I'm gonna go with my original prediction. I think we're
Okay.
gonna find out something more about the nature of the world and why the world is sinking, not just necessarily due to the actions of the world government in the present, but also in terms of like what's going on overall. So I think that'll be potentially interesting. But I do actually like the idea of finding out a bit more about people's dreams as well. Like that was something, the idea of like how do dreams materialize as energy and learning more about the sense of energy in the world because Vegapunk is referenced as a source of energy. So in reference to your Mother Flame thing, I kind of would like that too as an
Okay.
addendum to my what I'd written down in the pre-show.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
You think I'm crazy?
I don't think the One Piece world is sinking. I think flooding may happen, but I don't think it's because it's gonna be because the world is sinking right now. And
Then
I
what do you
think it's pretty
think?
clear that the world isn't sinking. But
Well, I
yeah.
mean, even though Vegapunk said the world is sinking, I guess you can take that abstractly to mean also sea levels are rising, and so they're sinking effectively. But I think we can get into S class and F class now, which my read will properly now be the segment where Abraham and I find theories in the internet and rate them, so you don't have to. Our friend who produced this podcast, Alex, is here to introduce the theories. What do you have for us today, Alex?
Yeah, the first one is from you, Jordan. You grabbed it from Euteron, and it reads,
My
the theory is
dog.
that, what's that?
I said my dog.
Yeah, Euteron, the man.
Yeah.
All right, his theory is that in the Void Century, the world government used the ancient weapons to burn holes all over the previous continent. As a result of this, water came forth up from the ground, like from hot springs. And that this is the discrete event that led to the watery One Piece world that sank into the sea.
Okay. You want me to react to that since you brought this Jordan theory? Do you want to talk first?
You talk first.
Okay. I like it. I think it's very much a different version of the same theory that I brought today by from Morge. I think it's definitely an S-class
Oh, okay.
theory.
Oh, same theory I brought.
No. It's not the same theory. It's not the same theory, but it's the same idea.
Right.
But no, it's definitely an S-class theory. The only thing that I see as an issue is that the world government clearly has not had the source of this mother flame. Like, that's getting access to this has been an issue that they've needed Vegapunk for. And even now, they're just like, they seem apprehensive to be using stuff like this weapon because they don't have a consistent energy source. So it would feel weird to me. Maybe they lost it. You know, maybe they had access to it and somehow lost it in the past. But for yeah, that I think that's kind of like a discrepancy that I take issue with. But otherwise, I think it's a great theory and I would give it an S-class theory.
Oh, well, thank you. That's very kind. I obviously, because it comes from my dog, Euteron, think this is an S-class theory. I think there's also a lot of the big question, though, and the big hole, ha, pun, get it, in the theory, is where are all the holes in the world? You know, we haven't actually gone around the place and seen a million different,
That's another one. Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
holes show up. And so I think that it's really interesting to think about, are those holes, could they potentially have been under where the red line is, right? And now the red line's come up. Have those holes been replaced with islands? Like, surely it's not. I mean, like, again, like last week I brought a theory from myself that it was coming from Enies Lobby, but there would have to at some point be something replacing what was previously there and what would be there. Like, there's also another question of like that would also mean that those holes can't actually go literally all the way to the core of the earth and the bottom of the ocean for most of them. So I think like figuring out exactly what the consequences of the use of this are would be interesting. And I do want to say, as I talk about my dog Euteron, I texted this in the message to Alex earlier today, but I just want to say that Euteron last October, actually, it came up with the One Piece world sinking in a theory that was talking about Long Ring, Long Land. So we do have some kind of precedent for sea levels rising and falling in One Piece world.
I want to say something real quick because I feel like you're conflating two different things about flooding that has happened in the past and flooding that will happen in the future, right? Because this theory, along with the theory that we're going to get into in a second, but essentially talk about, how maybe flooding may have happened in the past. That's why we only see islands instead of continents. And that I agree with, right? Like, I think that is a very real possibility that that happened. But I feel like you go back and forth. Like, when the last chapter came out, you're like, I predicted this. I predicted this was gonna happen. Like the flood, like there was gonna be flooding. And I talked to Samir, and Samir told me that you didn't predict this. He said that what you
No,
predicted was
I
that.
predicted that what he said, hold on, I predicted that what Vegapunk, that one example of something that Vegapunk could say that I thought would be interesting is give us an explanation of why the world is basically all ocean and just a series of islands.
Yeah, but I guess I wanna make sure as we go forward that we keep these two things distinct, right? That there may have been flooding that happened in the past, and that may be something that's revealed to us later, and there may be flooding that will happen going forward. Because I feel like from time to time we keep on like conflating these two things, and they are very distinct in my head.
Yeah, that's fair. And also, like And the theory I brought up wasn't necessarily about flooding. It's more that I think we might get an explanation for this. And I see the One Piece world is sinking into the ground, whether it's about flooding or it's just about sinking, is sort of an explanation for that. And I do think, to be fair, I think that, yeah, like Euteron talking about flooding and like, you know, water levels rising and falling is a different thing than, you know, us getting Swiss cheese from the ancient weapons happening.
Yeah.
I just kind of wanted to point out that Euteron had a theory that I thought was kind of right in October of last year, in addition to this different theory that he brought up today about sea levels rising and falling.
Got you.
Anyway, Alex, what do we have next?
Yeah, I think we've got a pretty smooth transition into this theory that you brought, Abraham, from Mr. Morge. And that is the
goat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, next conversation, Morge or Euteron. But let's table that for now. Morge's theory is that the world of One Piece used to consist of continents that now appear as islands due to rising sea levels. So Morge speculates that the reason the world of One Piece consists of a bunch of islands scattered about is due to a rise in sea level in the past upon the creation of the Red Line specifically. He points to quotes that we've gotten throughout the story that suggest the Red Line is not a natural creation, and he thinks that it was actually created by Emu's devil fruit. The creation of such a mass would then displace a lot of water, leading to a rise in the sea levels, causing continents to disappear below the surface of the water. Morge also theorizes that the defeat of Emu will cause the Red Line to disappear, just like Doflamingo's birdcage disappeared when he was defeated. This would cause water levels to return to their previous levels and reveal the continents that exist below the surface.
S class or F class?
Man, how first, I have so, there's so much to respond to there. I gotta, hold on. Red Line destroyed when Emu defeated. So there's some parts of that are S class. Some parts of that
not
are
not
F
destroyed,
class.
Disappeared. Not destroyed.
Excuse me. Some parts of that are S class. Some parts of that are F class. And some parts of that would have been S class in, if like, you know, 3 weeks ago, but now feel F class to me. So I feel like the idea that the water levels are rising and there was previously some sort of massive continent, I think seems like an F class, sorry, an S class theory, right? Like, at this point, it's not necessary. At this point, he obviously made this prediction months ago. At this point, I don't think find it necessarily.
8 months ago.
Oh, wow. Well, incredible. So that's even further ahead than Euteron. Congratulations. I think the idea that we're going to have underground kingdoms, right? Like, obviously there's things like Fishman Island, right? Like, there's things like Water 7. Are any of these things that have just like sunk all the way to the bottom of the ocean over a long period of time? So I think that that part is obviously S-class, although at this point, now that we know the world's going to sink, not necessarily creative. I think the serpent idea and him having a serpent fruit is F-class.
He never said that Emu had a serpent fruit. He said that Emu's fruit created the Grand Line, but he does not speculate about what devil fruit Emu might have had to use that.
Sorry. That Emu had a devil fruit that created the Grand Line is an F-class theory. We just don't have any...
The Red Line, not the Grand Line.
The Red Line, sorry. Yeah, even with the number... Like, we have seen so many devil fruits in this world, and even with the number that we have seen that are completely overpowered, and even with the Elder Star's power that seems to be completely beyond, and or like different or like more evolved as a power from anything that we've seen to this point, there's nothing that would lend us to believe that in this theory, or that in this One Piece world, there's a devil fruit that would be able to do something on the scale of creating the entire Red Line and maintaining that also for like hundreds and hundreds of years. So I think that part, the part of the Red Line being disappearing or being destroyed or whatever when Emu gets defeated, I think are all kind of F-class theories and not particularly interesting to me.
I think that's straight up bias on your part. First of all,
how is that bias? Wait, what do you mean?
Let me tell you, I'll break it down for you. Let me break it down for you, okay? First of all, you start off by saying, yeah, this whole idea of like the sea levels rising and continents being underwater. Yeah, that's kind of like S class, kind of. You said the word kind of S class.
No, I meant
And
that's an
then,
S-class theory.
yeah,
That's an
I'm just
S-class
saying,
theory.
when we talked about Euron having the same idea
Yeah,
2 minutes ago, you're like, that's a clear S class. That's my job. So we already have some bias
I feel like I
happening
might have
right
said that's an obviously an S-class theory, that part. But it
now.
came with a lot of other baggage that I was getting ready to
Let me
address
no, let me
when I
okay.
said that.
I'll tell you why I personally like this theory more than Euron's version, right? Couple things. One, you pointed out that there are no holes around the world. Like we see a hole in Enies Lobby, we see a hole in Lelouchia, right? Especially if this thing in Enies Lobby, it was created from the same weapon. We know
But
that these holes don't let, let
here's the thing,
me
Abraham. We know that what we know that creating holes in the sea or like in the earth, whatever it is, creating holes rises the water level. That is something that we actually have precedent for in the story. We have no precedent for anything like a devil fruit being able to create something this massive and maintain it for like
Sure,
800
but
years.
okay, let me finish what I was saying though. So, like you mentioned yourself, we don't have a bunch of these holes that just exist in the world right now, right? So that to me is a big weakness of Gideron's theory. The other one is that I like I mentioned, I don't think there's going to be like the world government doesn't have access to this energy source to do this. In now, when I consider something like the theory Moore's put forward, right? I agree we don't have something necessarily of this scale so far, but that's part of what I love about this theory because when we get to Emu and we find out what his devil fruit is, I don't know what it's going to be, but I expect it to be something extremely grand, like grandiose. Right, and it would not shock me at all. I'm not saying 100% this has to be like some kind of we've had like what like the island we've had like an island devil fruit, right, on like Blackbeard's crew, right?
Right.
So if you were to scale that island fruit up massively, maybe that would allow for like maybe that's what that would manifest as. I'm not saying again that that has to happen, but to act like there's no way that that can happen, I think is like not really like fair, right? I feel like I could easily see a world in which that happens. And you mentioned that like we've seen creating holes rises the water level, right? Well,
Correct.
basic science will tell you if you add like a massive island the size of the Red Line into water, like the water level is going to rise. That's
Yes,
just
but
like
I mean, come on,
displacement.
man. Like,
That's just display. It literally is just
that's how
water
science
displacement.
works. But like,
Yeah.
yes, that is how science works.
So I feel like this theory does, and also the idea that we can return to how the One Piece world used to exist in the past, if this was the case, because like he speculates when Doflamingo used his Paramecia Devil Fruit to create the Birdcage, right? And Luffy defeated Doflamingo. It's not like the Birdcage still stayed there; like it just disappeared. So the idea that, well, if the Red Line is an artificial creation, and we have had quotes from like Dory and Brogy, I didn't actually bother to look through all the quotes that we've gotten from about the Red Line in the past that suggest it's some kind of unnatural creation, right?
Right.
So if just like the Birdcage disappearing, the Red Line would disappear upon Emu being defeated, then that would allow the One Piece world to kind of return to how it was before it was created, which I don't think is something that can happen under like Euron's theory. So I feel like this is just a more complete version of that theory personally.
I disagree, but Alex, what's next?
Yeah, well, the next one is going to get a little bit into maybe what Emu's devil fruit is. It's one I've seen a couple places online, and it is around the gods that are introduced in Skypiea. There's four of them: the sun god, the rain god, the forest god, and the earth or land god, depending on how you want to translate that one. We've confirmed a devil fruit for the sun god exists, obviously eaten by our main man Luffy. But this theory purports that the rain god fruit may have been eaten by dragon, demonstrated in Logtown when he saves Luffy from Smoker. So possibly there are fruits for the forest god and earth god, and one of those two fruits may have been eaten by Emu. We see Emu mostly depicted in a greenhouse, maybe indicating that he is the forest god. And to Abraham's arguments from Mr. Morge, maybe he's the earth god and use that devil fruit to raise the red line. So I think the main question here is whether or not these four devil fruits exist, but I think there's also a conversation to be had on which one Emu may or may not be.
I want you to go first for this one, Jordan.
I don't like this one, man. It's an F-class theory for me.
F?
That's because it's an F-class theory. The
Okay.
first thing is, I think the idea that we're going to have like god different god fruits and Blackbeards is just kind of left out of that, especially with him being clearly being darkness and being the parallel to Luffy over the course of the whole series. I think if there's someone else who has some kind of god type devil fruit, it's
Yeah.
definitely got to be Blackbeard.
Can
Yes,
I
we
ask you
obviously have
a
things.
quick question related to
Go
that?
for it. Yeah.
What if he were to kill one of these people who has this like god fruit and you know steal it like later in the story, and that was his third devil fruit?
So if Blackbeard killed Im and then stole his devil fruit?
Maybe Im,
Or
maybe
dragon,
Dragon,
or like.
yeah, or whatever, one of these people.
That would be
Also,
an
if I can jump
interesting.
in real quick, Jordan, you know, I think especially with the oh goodness. Who are like Saturn? What is
Gorosei.
the Gorosei? The
Yeah.
Gorosei are like demonic. So if you think maybe there's this heaven and hell dichotomy, then Blackbeard could be maybe Cerberus, I think is put forward. So he's maybe part of the hell devil fruit realm. Whereas, you know, maybe we can keep this conversation more among the gods.
To be fair, I'll say that I actually think that Blackbeard is not like, because he is a D, that means that he is fighting against the world government. He's a natural enemy of like Luffy in the same way is the enemy of the gods, right? And he has a sun god fruit, but he's the enemy of like the gods, celestial dragons, that kind of thing in the same way. Whereas I think with whatever complexity we might end up getting with Blackbeard, it's that he's going to end up being kind of, they're both against whatever the world government is trying to do, just with different ideologies. And so that's why I don't see them as being completely on different sides of this. I think as far as the way I think about rating S-class and F-class theories, there's sort of like, you know, there's an amount of how plausible do I think the theory is. There's an amount of how funny or whatever, like how much does it interest me? And there's an amount of like, what do I think this would do for the story? And do I think that the way this would change the arc of the rest of the story arc of the rest of One Piece is like fun and interesting. And I just don't find this idea particularly interesting, like where we have to have these like four different types of, like, I don't see exactly how this makes One Piece better or more interesting or like, or in any way kind of like changes the nature of the eventual clashes that we're going to have between these different types of characters. Beyond that, I also just think it's a bit of a reach to be like, oh, he's a forest god, you know, because he was in a greenhouse. If you could give me a reason why him being the like a rain god or something like that, or like an earth god, was going to really impact the story in a way that I thought was like really fun and interesting, I would need that to be able to make this necessary.
Maybe he created the red
yeah,
line.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I'll give it an S class. I think I think it needs a lot more there needs to be a lot more to flesh out the theory, because it's not based on a whole lot right now, but I think the idea of it is interesting, especially since it ties in to the Skypiea lore. And I love it because Skypiea to me is the most relevant arc when it comes to predicting stuff related to the world government and the final, like NL is literally just for first half of the series Emu, you know what I mean? He's like literally a god.
Sure.
He's like omniscient, he rules over everyone. We're in like this, so anything related to like this kind of lore from like Skypiea, I love. So, and then also if he does end up being something like that earth god, and that does tie into maybe like creation of the red line, I think that would be really, really cool too. So I like the theory, even though I do agree that it needs a lot more like information to really solidify it, because there's a lot of speculation going on right now.
That's true. Well, I think that's what we got for S class and F class.
Yeah.
Time to get into some life stuff or the world stuff. You know, Abraham, we got a couple things going on recently.
Whoa. Jordan.
Oh man, dude, I was even bro, I told you I was off this week, man. Bro, I told you I was off this week. I literally have it on my I told you, man, I've been off. I've been tired. I literally have it on my freaking notes right here. It is not time for life. It's time. We got a new segment for you this week. And I was just running on autopilot, not thinking about what we have, being a bum and being tired, when we got a segment called One Piece Would You Rathers, where we're going to answer hypotheticals as if we were in the One Piece world, something fun and wacky to mix up a lot of the theorizing and whatnot. Shout out to our friend who produced this podcast, Alex, for coming in with a suggestion that kind of inspired this. But Alex, you know, what's this week's hypothetical going to be?
Yeah, so my wife and I were having a fun couple of conversations on FMK in the One Piece world. And for anyone who's unaware, it's who would you marry, who would you sleep with, and who would you end effectively? And I think, you know,
I didn't hear an F there. What did the F stand for?
It's also just funny because
but if you want to pull it out of me, you can.
I wanted to see your face as you said it.
Yeah,
it's just funny too because that's a swear word, and he like doesn't say like kill is not a swear word, and he's just like is not saying kill.
All right. Let's get into this. I think, you know, Would You Rather is going to be a more broad segment, but this FMK may be a running thing. And the first one I'd like to post to you, which, you know, as Katie and I got into it, was a bit more complicated than I initially thought. And that is the big three, Luffy, Zoro, and Sanji.
Yeah. I can go first if you want me to go first, Jordan. Do you want to take it?
You go for it, man.
Because my answer, because we talked about this last weekend, and my answer changed since last weekend. Last weekend, I said that I would fuck, I think I said fuck Sanji, marry Luffy, kill Zoro. But I've changed now where I'm going to marry Sanji. I thought about it and I was just like, I want someone who can make me some nice food. And like, he's the only one out of all of them, he's the only one with an actual skill set to like help me out.
I know you're a Stan Sanji guy, man. You're a Stan Sanji guy for sure.
No. He's not one of my favorite Straw Hats, but I'm just like, what do I need? Like, Luffy can make me laugh, and that's nice. And Zoro can like fight people, but I don't really. I need someone to like take care of me. So I would marry Sanji.
That's very nice.
Because he can cook. I would then probably fuck. I think it would fuck Luffy, because. He's a rubber man, and he also feels like
that seems like the obvious answer, right? Like, he's full of rubber.
And Zoro just seems he's just an aggressive guy. I don't need that in the bedroom, you know. So, I would probably then have to kill Zoro. So I think I'm just gonna swap Luffy and Sanji from how I had it before, and I'm gonna marry Sanji. Fuck Luffy, kill Zoro.
You know, I'll say, I think you got it right. Because, now don't get me wrong, because I do need some of that aggressiveness in the bedroom. You know, I don't mind that. I don't mind that one bit. I'm game. You know what I'm saying? I'm down. But it's when you have someone as rubber, like, the possibilities are endless. You're talking about someone as rubber. And obviously both Zoro and Luffy have no skills at all that would make them worth marrying. At the very least, Sanji. Well, then again, we're dudes, so Sanji probably wouldn't do whatever we wanted. But at the very least, having those skills on deck would be useful. Plus, yeah. I think the thing with Zoro is when you talk about kill, it's like you could have a like real honorable fight to the death. With him,
Zoro?
And I mean, don't get me wrong. Like you're, you know, you get to kill him.
You're so, gonna
like,
die. I guess
he's gonna let you win, you know. But like, at the very least, there's some kind of like honor and like reason to like do that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe he felt he did something dishonorable and was like, I'm gonna do it. But you know, he would be like, my time has come. Well, my time has come, and I can accept that. But I do kind of want to know, you know, what did Katie say, Alex?
Well, I have to remember.
I kind of wonder, you know, what's this like doing this with your wife? You know, it's like if she says Zorro because I like a big, strong, you know, hulking beast of a man. Like I would be like, dang, how'd that make me feel? I'm not big like that.
I mean, she married him, so maybe that's how she sees him.
Confidence in our relationship. So I don't think there's any concerns here. Talking about, I mean, she talks a lot about Henry Cavill, which, you know, you have to admit that man's a hunk, and also
right.
He's got some good interests. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think, you know, she thought Sanji, despite all of his, I'll call him foibles, mm-hmm. you know, right. around yeah. women,
yeah.
would be a caring lover, which kind of surprised me, but I can see it. I can
true.
See it.
That's true.
Zoro, I think, you know, is a very stable man. Yeah. I
remember her saying this.
Yeah, he's reliable. He's not obviously going to cook you a nice meal, but he would be able to support a family.
He'll be a rock.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is kind of what you need in a partner. And she said kill Luffy, which I was surprised, but I made the rubber man comment to her, and she's like, you know,
I feel like
that was her choice. Yeah.
Well, I feel like there's just a lot of different things. Like, I think there's some real interesting gendered perspectives going on as far as like both like what we all think about when we're thinking about sex and like the thing that we're imagining, as well as the things that we think about when like choosing partners, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm excited. You know, like, I think next week we'll have some more interesting conversations around some of the other maybe Straw Hats and other One Piece characters for this segment.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of fun. I will tell one story before we get into the life, though. You know, I used to I used to watch we would watch Fire Force as a group at like a weekly anime night, and there's like some guy who like wears some dumb vest and hat or whatever. And my ex-girlfriend, we were watching it, she would be there. She'd be like, oh, that guy's so hot. And I was like, what? Like, that guy? Are you kidding me? There's a real chance of a rift over, like, how would you think, like, that guy? What do you see in him? I was creating some real rifts, you know, the tension over what anime characters that my then-girlfriend found attractive. So, you never know.
That's crazy.
But now I guess we're on to actually finally talking about real stuff. I'm getting out of my funk. We're almost there. Abraham, you got some topics to share with us.
Yeah. So it's really relevant right now because Kendrick just dropped a new diss, a Drake diss track. It's really a Drake and J. Cole diss track, but it's mostly about Drake, called Euphoria, which was fire. And for people who don't know, Drake and Kendrick have actually had a beef for about like 10 years now, since about 2013, where they kind of started out amicably. You know, Drake helped Kendrick when his career was, you know, still getting started. But then it's a really, really long story. There was this Big Sean song called Control that Kendrick was on, and he dropped this crazy verse where he was talking about how he wanted to be the greatest rapper ever. And he was like, kind of like, fuck J. Cole, you know, F Drake, all these people. I want to be the best. And Drake took issue with it. So they kind of started taking subliminal shots at one another in their music. And then, you know, Drake's a little bit more sensitive. So he tried to, over these last couple of years, he's tried a number of different times to squash the beef, where he's just like, hey, I respect Kendrick, I like Kendrick, blah, 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 blah. Kendrick has never really responded to any of that. He's been very clear that he doesn't like Drake and he doesn't think Drake is legit. Then also around that time, you know, J. Cole and Kendrick have kind of had their whole rivalry going on for a little bit about, you know, these up-and-coming rappers, who's the better rapper. And their relationship wasn't quite as contentious. But so basically, you know, it's like there's this big three of Drake, J. Cole, and Kendrick. And J. Cole and Drake started taking shots at Kendrick. They released a couple songs, like there was Push-Ups that Drake put out. There was Tailor Made that Drake put out. And yeah, it's kind of all climaxed in Euphoria, which Kendrick just put out. And he killed him. Like, I thought Drake was doing okay for himself before Kendrick put out this song, but it's over. It's over. It was. Did you listen to Euphoria?
I did. Well, even if I hadn't listened to it, I was gonna end up having to listen to it before this. Yeah, I thought it was interesting because I was like, dang, like he really does hate this dude. I wish it was a better song. Like that was
Didn't
a
like
bet.
it? I thought it was a
I was
great
it,
song.
it was an all right song, but I'm not gonna like bang that. Like I'll be playing Like That. I played like That is gonna make me and my sister Spotify Wrapped as like one of the top songs because I was listening to it incessantly when it first came out. But I think that, it's actually really funny because when I listen to Euphoria, right, like one of
Yeah.
the points that, like, obviously one of the themes that has kind of run through this when Rick Ross put out Champagne, what's it, Champagne Dreams or something like that, whatever. When Rick Ross put out his diss track, he calls Drake a white boy like 800 times, right? In Euphoria, Kendrick raps about not liking to hear Drake say the N-word, right? Like, so we don't want to hear you say it, like that's something he says,
You
like.
don't want to
He like
hear you
sings it
say
towards the end,
no
and you
more.
just kind of like leave. You kind of like leave being like, dang, that's what I heard. And especially, like I have people text me being like, man, it's like a tough time for you and your light-skinned brother,
Well, I was gonna say Drake is one of your people. He's
Right,
Jewish,
he's also
he's
Jewish.
mixed. Like,
No, exactly. And it's actually really funny because right before this track dropped, like I had in the same week like two completely different conversations about like N-word usage and how I feel about it, right? And one thing about me is I don't like it's not that I never say it, but I don't say it very often, and I'm like very conscious about when I say it. And like a big part of the reason for that is growing up where I grew up, right? Like I grew up in a nice neighborhood, like I basically I didn't grow up with it, right? I don't think I grew up with it as far from it as you might think. If you like go to my high school where I was then like the only black guy in my grade by my senior year after my best friend got like kicked out of school, but like I grew up in a pretty mixed school, but like because of different class dynamics, right? Like my parents are doctors. It's like who are the kids who are in my neighborhood? Who are the kids who are like going to soccer? Like it was a lot of white, so I wasn't growing up like saying it. And so, there's people like our friend Joaquin who grew up, he's Latino, but he like grew up saying it more and it's like stopped. And so for me, it's like I'm always really conscious of a sense of, I think a lot of people who grow up in similar backgrounds to me, it feels like one of these things when you're struggling with identity and trying to figure out like what it means to be black and like how to be connected to that while you're in the primarily white space, it feels like something that you see people start doing to like assert themselves and be like, this is my blackness, like I can say this, you can't say that. And so I really, because of that, tend away from it. And that's really what I saw is I'm like, dang, like I texted Joaquin and I texted my friend. I said, dang, I'm making the right decision. Cause Drake clearly out here making the utter decision and these dudes don't like it.
There's a one the line honestly that made my jaw drop was when he said, "How many more black features till you finally feel that you're black enough?" Like, this is like exactly, I feel like that's one line to basically summarize everything that you just said, right? And I actually think I agree with I get your experience probably better than maybe a lot of other people, not for the same reason necessarily, because I was in a space surrounded by a lot of like black people, because my parents, I mean my dad is like a bus driver, my mom's a baby. I didn't live in like any kind of like, or I wasn't surrounded by like more like rich white kids or anything like that. But like I grew up in an African household, so like I was never like I never said that growing up, right? And even now, it's something that especially if I'm like singing or rapping or something like that, I feel like I jump in between saying it and not saying it, depending just partially depending on who I'm around by, because I also don't want to make other people uncomfortable when I say it sometimes, because I feel like
I never say it in front of white people, actually. I literally never say it in front of white people.
Okay. Why is that?
Because then, like, I feel like you have people, especially people who, like, didn't really grow up around it, especially when people who just, like, they get real excited to feel like they can start saying it pretty soon. Mm. I think if you don't mm-hmm. make it clear that, like, I'm not even saying this, so why would you think that you could say that?
That's fair. That's probably a smart move. But yeah. So yeah, I think even to this day for me, it's not something that, like, even though I'll say it from time to time, it's not something that I think feel extremely comfortable saying, right? I think that's me being like, is me being authentic, right? And to myself, right? Like, that's just not a word that I grew up saying. So why would I change who I am? I'm not saying change.
Like, why is that the word that you're gonna change yourself to start saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's sure a weird word to, like, change yourself to begin saying as you get older.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like if you grow up in a I moved to a Spanish neighborhood. I start speaking a lot more Spanish now because I live in this neighborhood than I did before. There's a reason to do that. It's like, oh, I'm gonna, like, I didn't grow up saying this, but I'm gonna start saying what's, like, a super, like, hateful word in its original form, just so I can, like, you know, there's no reason to start with that. Like, bro, man, dude, dog, like that man over there, like, it's not that hard. And clearly, it seems like Drake has not necessarily figured that out.
I mean, I've never said it in the context of conversation before, just because that's just not how I speak personally. I guess to your point, I'll be honest with myself, and, like, that's not the aspect of myself that I'm going to change. I'm not even saying, though, that Drake necessarily, Kendrick is obviously putting out there that you're not actually like this. I think he basically says in the song, like, you're appropriating, like, American culture. You're from Canada, you know.
You got my black Jewish take, but this man Canadian.
He's
Canadian, like you.
He's a fusion of the two of us, really.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, Drake will respond how he responds, but I think it's going to be hard to come. If I was Drake, I would just, I would try. I would.
It's time to admit you lost.
It's time to give up. I don't know how you come back.
It's like, listen, bro, you make good music, but you really can't come back, because it really seems like none of these dudes are about to come stick up for you. And when it's like that, like, it's like that.
So the other thing is, coming up, even though Drake has always been more, quote unquote, popular in terms of, like, number of listens and all these other things, he struggled to gain respect in, like, the hip hop community, right? Whereas Kendrick was very quickly accepted by a lot of the, like, the OGs, like Dr. Dre, Snoop, all these people. And I think part of it is also, you know, Kendrick makes, like, a lot of conscientious rap music, like To Pimp a Butterfly and all these other things, whereas Drake's stuff is really more for, like, the club and whatnot. So I think that all plays into it too, right? Where it's just like, you know, Kendrick is putting out more conscientious rap music. So it's almost like, you know, you, to some people, I think, right or wrong, it's like you're more with, you know, the struggle, quote unquote, whatever that means, you know, you're however you want to define.
Well, it's like, shoot, man, we've seen a lot of things about ghostwriters. I think Rick Ross mentioned ghostwriters, Kendrick mentioned ghostwriters, and RDC World wrote How the Ghostwriters Were When Drake Heard Euphoria. So that's definitely one of the things.
I mean, it's been shown that Drake has ghostwriters, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't know how Drake's coming back from this, but, you know, we'll see. I'm sure he'll still put out good music that people mess with. I want to talk about one last thing before we hop off. You know, Alex and I are in Chicago right now. Like you said, we're at a conference.
Love Chicago.
Someone else that's in Chicago are your Bears. You guys might not know, Jordan is a Chicago Bears fan. They've been down on their luck since 1985.
We had some good years, man. We had some good years, like 06 and 06 and well, like all the Jay Cutler years that we like, even when we made the NFC Championship game, like Jay Cutler was our quarterback, so it just didn't feel like it.
I saw a tweet or something where they said, to this day, the Bears have not had a 4,000-yard passer or a quarterback throw for 30 touchdowns in their history.
Yeah, that sounds right, man. Some of these stats over time change. And so, you know, it's like things like throw for 4,000 yards wasn't that common, you know, even 15 years ago, right? So I do think it's a little bit different. I mean, like, in the last however many years, we've been a bit rough. But
they're the only franchise like that.
In the way that I've been down as a light-skinned man, a black Jewish man, since Drake is out here just getting worked in this in this rap battle, I have been up in the last year, in that last year, since the end, and maybe like last 4 or 5 weeks of the NFL season until right now, I've been up because I was an early Justin Fields, our quarterback. I was early out on Justin Fields. I've been saying for over a year now that Justin Fields cannot play quarterback in the NFL. We managed to win our last few games, and because we had the number one pick from the Carolina Panthers, and we weren't that good, we had the number one and number nine pick. So this free agency, or this this free agency, we signed to our receiving corps. Oh my God, I'm forgetting. Keenan Allen from the Chargers, who's multiple thousand yard receiving seasons.
That was really big.
We, from the trade with the Panthers last year, have DJ Moore.
Yep.
We drafted Rome Odunze, a wide receiver from Washington. And Cole Kmet, our tight end, is like a pretty good tight end. And even though we were still 7-10 last year, which is like, you know, not terrible with a few losses. We also drafted the number one pick, the generational talent, Caleb Williams. I have not been excited for any of the last, maybe like, basically since we drafted Mitchell Trubisky over, well, I wanted Deshaun Watson at that point, but we also drafted him over Patrick Mahomes way back in 20, whatever. I have been completely unexcited for every single Chicago Bears season, thinking, man, we're just like out of luck. We're going to suck. Like, I don't even think we're going to be good. And now I see, like, here it is. We have one of the best offensive weapon rooms, wide receiver rooms in the entire league. We have a quarterback who actually knows how to throw the ball with anticipation. The defense was great through the end of last year. And I don't know, we drafted a punter, so hopefully he's good on special teams. We drafted an offensive lineman, so hopefully he ends up being good and we get a little bit more protection, although it won't matter as much because our quarterback probably won't just be like holding onto the ball for like a million years getting ready to try and run because he can't play quarterback. I'm really excited for this Bears season for the first time in a long time. And I'm going to be wearing my Bears gear to the bar as we go make the playoffs.
That was literally what I was going to ask you. Do you guys think you make the playoffs this year?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to like say exactly, especially with the rookie quarterback. But with all those freaking weapons, like one of the things that has been consistent in terms of who makes the playoffs and who does well, it's like rookie quarterbacks who can play. Yeah, quarterbacks on their first deal with like good weapons and things around them. I think as long as Caleb Williams can play, exactly, like a CJ Stroud. I mean, he didn't even have that many weapons. He was just legit, honestly. But as long as Caleb Williams is able to. As long as Caleb Williams is actually able to play and is able to make the NFL throws that it seems like he should be able to make, I think there's no question our offense will be really strong. Our defense will be good. The coach is kind of a question mark. I kind of like wish we would have been a little bit more terrible. Then we could have got Marvin Harrison Jr. And then I wanted Brian Flores, but you know,
I thought you guys for a while that season were going to have the number one and number two pick. And it would have been
crazy, right?
Caleb and Marvin Harrison.
Yeah, even four would have been just fine. Like if we could have at least lost to the, and then we would have fired Eberflus, and I wanted Brian Flores because then like Flores has been a good coach when he's been.
He's never getting hired again.
I know, I know. But you know when the Bears were last good, we had a black defensive head coach, Lovie Smith. You do just need a defensive. Eberflus feels kind of like, you know, he's got a hair slick back and everything. He doesn't feel Chicago to me. You know what I mean? And the way like Flores would feel right to me.
Yeah, no, I think the Bears are going to be good next year. I think their division is going to be kind of tough because the Lions are good. If
Right.
the Packers, if Jordan Love is for real, then the Packers are going to be pretty good.
He does seem like he's for real.
But the NFC is also the weaker conference, so I think you guys are going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think there's a good shot. It's really a question of if Eberflus is like actually a coach who can get it done. But I think that he was working with a quarterback in the last few years who like literally could not throw a ball before the wide receiver breaks. It was just like one of the basic skills that you actually need to be successful. And
Yeah.
so, like, even if you look at some of the games that we won, you see, oh, here's a touchdown of DJ Moore. And you'd be like, he threw that ball so late, it was almost a pick six. And the reason that DJ Moore had the ability to run that last 40 yards is because the DB had literally just tried to get a pick six and missed it. And that's why he got that. So I'm really excited. You can check in with me and the Bears as we continue for next
Okay.
year. So I'm very excited. Anyway, man. That's it for our show. All we have for time. Thank you to Alex, your friend who produces this podcast, for hanging out behind the scenes. Come back next Sunday to hear what we've got to say about chapter 1114. In the meantime, we are your friends who read One Piece. Help us get more friends by liking our podcast on Spotify. Wait, did I tell you we got our fourth five-star review?
Oh,
Did I tell you we
really?
got our fourth five-star review? Someone reviewed us 5 stars.
From a stranger?
From a stranger, man. I'm like, I don't
Wow.
know who it would be. Was it you,
It
Alex?
might have been me.
Oh, man. It
Call me out.
was
You should have just
Alex.
run with
Man.
it. We have one for me,
But
one for Jordan, one for Alex.
we got one that we don't know who it is, so we still appreciate that person who did that a while ago. Come on, be our fifth review, and follow us on YouTube at Friends Who Read One Piece to see Abraham's ugly mug and all the thumbnails. Thanks for listening, and check us out later.
Peace.